To read the scripture in the book of Deuteronomy this morning, Deuteronomy the 15th chapter, and I'm only going to read one verse, so I'll try to make sure that you get to the right spot before I read it, because I think it's good to read together. I think it sticks in our minds when we read together the Word of God and know what He's saying to us. Thank you. In Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, and I'm going to read also verse 15. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, and verse 15. Okay, if everyone has found this place, if you haven't opened your Bibles or don't have your Bible with you, listen as we read the Word of God. It says, "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today." Now, I want you to notice here that the Lord is calling to remembrance to these people a certain thing. And this is what I want to deal with this morning. And my message is, do you remember? Now, it was very important to God for His people to remember certain things, and it still is today. It's important to the Lord that you and I remember some things in our lives. Now, when God brought His people out of Egypt, great care was taken that it should be remembered. Now, I think that most of you, either through Bible stories in Sunday school or through the reading of the Bible yourselves, you remember the story of God's people down in Egypt. You remember how that Joseph was sold as a slave down in Egypt. And then he came to the heights of being next in command under the Pharaoh. And then at a time of famine and where there was no food in other lands, there was food in Egypt because God blessed Joseph. And God's people, Israel, went down into Egypt and stayed there and prospered and multiplied to the point of where the Pharaoh feared that these people would take over the land of Egypt. And so he made them bond slaves. And for almost 400 years, these people were bond slaves in Egypt. Now, God sent or raised up a deliverer by the name of Moses and led these people out of Egypt. But now, when he did so, he went to great extremes to tell the people, "I want you to remember that it was I, God, who delivered you out of Egypt when you were bond slaves. I delivered you out of Egypt. I redeemed you." All right? God told these people to remember this. Now, in order that they might do so, God even put the first month of their year to be the month that they came out of Egypt, so that they would know every year when the first month of the year came around, these people would remember, this is when God brought us out of Egypt. Also, as a reminder, God gave the Passover. And I think most of you remember how that in Egypt the firstborn was going to be killed, and God instructed Moses for them to kill a lamb without blemish and without spot and put the blood over the door of the people. And when the death angel came and he saw the blood, he would pass over them. This was the Passover, and God told them, said, now every year I want you to eat bitter herbs. I want you to eat unleavened bread. I want this to be something that will make you remember that when you were down in Egypt and you were bond slaves under the Pharaoh of Egypt, God delivered you and redeemed you out of Egypt into the promised land. God wanted these people to remember it. This ordinance was to be a memorial throughout all generations of the Passover. Alright, they were also, the Lord said, I want you to teach this also to your children verbally. I want you to, when your son, when he asks you about this, I want you to be able to tell the story. I want you to tell generation after generation, year after year, I want you to tell how God delivered His people out of the land of Egypt. They were bond slaves under Pharaoh, and I want you to tell how God delivered them. Even along the way, there were markers. Even when they crossed the great Jordan River that was in flood stage, and God opened up the waters and let them march over under the leadership of Joshua. And there, God said, put these stones, these rocks, and let it be a monument. Let it be for all generations. Let it be for your children and their children and their children's children, that when they see this pile of stones, they will remember that out of the land of Egypt, God brought His people and even opened up the Jordan River and let them walk across. It was very, very important that they remember. Even the Ten Commandments that God gave to them on Mount Sinai. If you go back and read the Ten Commandments there, we find that before God gave the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, He made this statement. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. And then He went on and says, thou shalt have no other God before me. But over and over again, through much of the Old Testament, it is a repeated argument for obedience and faithfulness of God's people to remember what God has done for you. Remember how He brought you out of this land. You remember also Joshua, and before he died in his late years, he said to the people, he said, now, are you going to serve the gods that you had on the other side of the flood? Are you going to serve the gods of your forefathers? Are you going to serve God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt and delivered you from the bondage of the Egyptians? Remember that thou was a bond slave in Egypt. Remember that the Lord thy God has redeemed thee. It was very important to God that His people remember that. Now, if those people were continuously instructed to remember their deliverance out of Egypt, should we not take heed to ourselves that we by no means forget or cast into the background our great redemption through the precious blood of Christ, by which we were set free from the yoke and bondage of sin and death for eternity? Now, if it's important to God that His people, that He delivered out of the land of Egypt, if it was important to Him that they remember it was God that delivered them out of bondage, it was God that redeemed them, it was God that brought them up out of this land and put them in the land of promise, if that was important in a physical realm, how much more important is it for you and for me today that our minds go back over and over and over again, that we remember what God has done for us? You know, we were under bondage to sin. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to death. But let us remember, it was God that brought us out of that bondage. It was God that delivered us from that slavery. It was God that redeemed us up from the pits of the miry clay. Amen. It's important that we remember this. And you know, if we remember, I don't think there's a real child of God. There may be some false professors, but I don't think there's a real child of God that can sit down for a few moments and meditate and think about all the things that God's done for us and not feel that we really owe something to the Lord. Not feel that because of this, we ought to be faithful to God. He deserves our worship. He deserves our attendance. He deserves our assembling together here and lifting up praise to Him in song. He deserves that we gather together here and remember what God has done for us. Remember how we were down in the pits of the miry clay, sold under sin and death, and were slaves to it. But God has redeemed us and delivered us from that bondage. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians, the second chapter, 11 through 13, to remember in times past that we were Gentiles in the flesh, and we were without hope. We were without the covenant. We were without the promises. But now God has come to us and redeemed us. Also in Romans 6, that being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Now folks, you can't be made free from sin without being made a servant of righteousness. If God has delivered you and delivered me from the bondage of sin, we're obligated not only by desire, but by the very act that God has done, we're obligated to walk in righteousness. Oh, we should want to. We should want to serve righteousness. We should want to live godly. We should want to come to the house of God and praise Him. We should want to share it with other people. We should want to see others come to Christ. We should want to see them. We should remember back how we felt in our guilt of sin, and how we felt when the Holy Spirit enlightened us, and how we wept bitterly over the sins and the sinful condition of our lives, and how we deserved eternal torment. But God in His love came in and delivered us out of bondage and redeemed us from this world. Oh, forget all other things, if you will, but please don't forget that you were in bondage to sin, but the Lord has redeemed you. If you're not a child of God this morning, you remember you're still in bondage to sin. You're still a child of wrath. You're still in the clutches of Satan and deserve the wrath of God. Let us never forget that. I would like to use this morning the illustration of Israel being in Egypt to refresh our memory of our conditions as a sinner. You know, the Lord gave us these things, wrote down things that happened in the Old Testament for our example. Things to teach us, physical illustrations to bring forth spiritual truths. And so let us look at Israel in Egypt as bond slaves under the Pharaoh, and let us compare this to the human race under the bondage of sin today. And let us do this to refresh us of our memory what God's done for us. And if there be one here without Christ, maybe the Holy Spirit will use these words to bring to light to those people that God can deliver you out of bondage, that He can bring you from the bondage of sin and make you free from the road to eternal destruction and set your feet upon the pathways of righteousness. I want us to look first of all at the bondage of the people in Egypt. It was in many ways like the bondage of us in sin. I think we can make a good comparison here, and we can see what even better maybe what we were before the Lord brought us out, or if we haven't been brought out, what we are today. First of all, as we look at this bondage in Egypt, we remember that when we were unregenerated and under sin, we were enslaved to a mighty power against which we could not contend with. Now you look back and you think back about the children of Israel in Egypt. They were under a power which they could not fight against. Pharaoh's army was too strong for lowly shepherds. People that had never done anything but raise sheep, guarding the flocks, had not been trained in ways of warfare, did not have the weapons of war, did not have what they needed, neither in knowledge or in weapons, to fight against the mighty army of Pharaoh's Egypt. So therefore, they were under the power, the mighty power, against which they could not contend with. Had it not been that way, they would not have stayed for 400 years in slavery. But because of the great power of the Egyptian army, because of the lack of the ability of the Israelites to be able to go against the forces of Egypt and win the victory, because of this, they must stay as bond slaves in Egypt. If fallen man had the heart, if we in our unregenerated state, if we had the heart to resist sin and to resist Satan, we couldn't gain the victory. We're not strong enough. There's no way that humans in their unregenerate state that can overcome the power of sin and the power of death and the power of Satan. We could fight. We could gather all of humanity if we had a heart to even desire to come out of sin and come out of bondage. All humanity band together could not have enough power to break the bondage of sin. We'd look like weaklings in the eyes of sin and death. But yet man has not the heart for spiritual liberty, else the Lord would lend him the power. But you see, according to God's word, we as sinners, we sold under sin, in bondage to sin, we don't even have the desire in our heart to fight against it. And you know something? These people down in Egypt, I'm sure there would be passing thoughts through their mind, and they'd say, well, boy, I wish I wasn't a slave. That's far as it ever got. You know, some folks, we have a lot of people out in the world, never profess Christ, say, boy, I hope I don't go to hell. You know that? But that's as far as it goes. Never goes any farther. Not one time do you read about a time when Israel rose up in rebellion against Egypt, do you? They were in such way in bondage that they didn't even have enough desire in their hearts to put forth any effort to fight against Egypt. If they had, they'd still lost. But they didn't even have the desire. They might have had a passing thought, but not a desire. In the same way with us, if we had a desire, God might even lend us the power to overcome sin and death and Satan. But we don't even have the desire in our sinful nature to fight against it. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leper change his spots? Nor can something clean come out of something unclean. All of these illustrations that God gives to show us our state before the Lord comes to our heart. Now we notice also, we might remember that our slavery to sin had so degraded us that we had no desire to escape. The Israelites were so enslaved in their condition that their hope was gone. They had no hope. Nor do we as sinners have any hope of escaping sin and death. Even when a brief hope would come at the first hardship, these Israelites turned back, never putting forth the effort to rise to victory. They would not even receive Moses as their deliverer. They said, "Who are you to come down here and tell us you're going to lead us out of the land of Egypt?" They not even have any hope when the deliverer came. We too are willing slaves of sin and death. Just as these Israelites were willing to stay in the position that they were willing to eat the leek and the garlic. They were willing to go on building Pharaoh's mighty monuments. They were willing to go on day after day in slavery and not resisting. And you know, the people that are in sin, bondage to sin, it's on their heart and it's on their mind to the point that they don't even choose to break free from it, even if they could. There's no hope for them. We claim ourselves to be free, yet we embrace the foolish pleasures of this world, thought ourselves blessed with such enjoyments and contentment of the things of this life, never making an effort to come to God. Remember also that our bondage brought us misery. All the Israelites that toiled day after day, they toiled in their misery. So we as sinners go on in the bondage of misery, thinking that if we continue, if we try something else, if something new comes along, if we go to more extremes to satisfy the flesh, somewhere out there, somewhere along the line, we'll find satisfaction. We get out here in the world and we strive and we war and we seek to get that which would please our heart's desire. And yet when we get it, we're still not pleased and we have to seek for something else. And on and on and on it goes. But we still think that somewhere down the line, somewhere along the line, if we just do more of it, if we have more of it, if we can get more of it, somewhere there will be a point where our heart will be content. But yet we go on in our misery without hope. But we think it'll finally bring us happiness, but it never does. You know, all of us as humans, we desire physical things. And you know, we sit around, most of us, as poor people, or at least on the brink of it. We sit around and think, oh, if I could just, by some means or some way, if I could just make, or somebody just give me $1 million, Oh, how happy I'd be and how happy I can make other people be. But it wouldn't. It wouldn't accomplish what you would like for it to accomplish. Have you ever noticed that back years ago, I know there was hard times among people. There was hard times in my family. Like I told you before, someone asked one time, "Do you remember the Depression?" And I asked them, "Is it over?" I never knew when it came and went. We've always been poor, and we was raised up in a home. There was no electric lights. There was no water faucets. There was no bathrooms in the house. You know, used to, we ate in the house and went to the bathroom outside. And now they eat outside and go to the bathroom inside. But anyway, we were poor. We didn't have hardly anything. We had something to eat, but we had very little material things. And yet, you know, we were happy in many ways. We didn't have to worry about whether or not the electricity was going off. That wasn't our concern. At my house right now, if the electricity went off, I couldn't even have a cup of coffee. That's how helpless I am. Dependent upon everything, other things, you know, of mankind. And we think that the more we get, the happier we'll be. But really, the more you get, the more problems you have, don't you? Just like Dwight got him a bulldozer. Now you got the problem fixing it up, you know. You got to work on it. I buy an automobile, it breaks down. Now I got car notes and repair bills. These things, the more that you have, the more problems you have. If you had $1 million, you'd have so many problems you couldn't even sleep. But yet we think if we just had that, boy, we'd be happy and we'd just make everybody else happy. And it wouldn't happen that way. Now, remember, these things will not bring happiness. Happiness will come through God. And that's the only way to come. Now, remember also that our enemy intends, and did intend, to destroy us. You see, Pharaoh's goal toward Israel was to destroy them. You see, he didn't want them to get any bigger. He wanted to cut down on the population. He wanted Israel to become weak and even extinct. He was afraid of them. And so Satan wants the same thing for us. He wants the same thing for all sinners. The aim of his life is to destroy both body and soul into hell. Now, it's a victory when God reaches down and takes one out of the clutches of Satan. We don't have the power to resist. We don't have the desire to resist. We don't even know that the very thing that we desire is the very thing that Satan has put there to destroy us. And yet we continue to go after it. Also remember that we were in the hands of a power that would not let go. He would not let go. God has to snatch us out of the power of Satan. Satan's not going to let go. He's not going to set us free. The voice of Moses cried out, "Thus saith the Lord God, let my people go." But Pharaoh's answer was, "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Such is the cry of sin and death. I will not let you go." To all people and all generations, sin and death clutches you and holds you in the power and refuses to set you free, refuses to let you, and refuses to let you go. But remember, when the Holy Spirit came into our heart, the mighty power of God overthrew the power of Satan. We find that in Ephesians, the first chapter, it was the same power that God reached down into the grave and raised up Jesus from the dead is the same power that reached down into the miry clay and reached down into the depths of sin and death and brought us up into a state of life. It was the power of God that come down and said to Satan, "Let my people go." It was the power of God that gave me and you a desire to come to Jesus. It was the power of God that gave us faith to believe and trust in Christ as our Savior. Oh, let us remember. Let us bring glory to God. Let us remember that it was He and He alone that reached down and saved us from our sins. Now, the other part, the Lord said for these people to remember not only how you got out of bondage, but the fact, He says, that I redeemed you. I redeemed you. Israel was redeemed by a price. The firstborn was to die. The firstborn was to be put to death throughout all the land. But God came with a voice to Moses and said to him, "Kill a lamb, an innocent lamb, and put his blood over the door and alongside. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you." This was the redemption of Israel. They were redeemed from that death angel. They were redeemed from the death of the firstborn. They were brought out of Egypt because of this redemption. And folks, God would have us this morning to remember the price that was paid for us. The Bible tells us we were not redeemed by the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. There was a price paid for us. The Bible says ye are bought with a price. And that price was Jesus Christ, our Savior. That price was Him going to the cross. That price was Him shedding His blood. You and I might come out of bondage. And then, not only were they redeemed with a price, but they were redeemed by power. It was the power of God that changed the Nile into blood. It was the power of God that brought the plagues upon Egypt. It was the power of God that delivered these people out of the land. When they got to the Red Sea and there stood before it and the Egyptians coming after them, it was the power of God that opened up that Red Sea and brought them forth. And so, friend, we are also redeemed by God's power. It was God's power that made us willing to come to Christ. It was God's power that made us see our condition. It was God's power that showed us Jesus upon the cross. And just as God made these people willing to come out of the land of Egypt, for 400 years they hadn't been willing to go against Pharaoh. But it was the power of God that made them willing. It was the power of God that opened up that Red Sea. It was the power of God that brought them food and water along the way. It was the power of God that defeated their enemies as they traveled into that land. It was the power of God that opened up the Jordan River and let them walk across. It was the power of God that gave them this land, which is a symbol of glory. And folks, it was the power of God that made us willing. Is the power of God that gave us faith to believe. It was the power of God that made us realize our condition. It was the power of God that made us see ourselves as sinners on a road to hell. It was the power of God that made us see Jesus by faith on the cross dying for us. It was the power of God that brought us to repentance. It was the power of God that made us walk down the aisle and tell publicly that God had saved us and to follow Him. And it's the power of God that sustains and keeps us today, that we can walk in holiness. We can walk without sin. We can worship the Lord today, and we should. And we ought to remember where we came from. Now folks, when you remember, if you remember a perverted gospel, if you remember one day you decided that you wanted to go to heaven, you motivated God to do something for you, you don't have much glory to give to the Lord. You share some with Him, but you don't have much to give to Him. When we get to heaven, if we sing the song, "Lord, You and I did it," there's not much glory for God. But oh, friend, today remember, it was not you. It was the Lord. Remember, it's not going to be you that keeps you through this life. It's going to be the Lord. It's not going to be you that brings that body out of the grave. It's going to be the Lord. It's not going to be you that helps in the glorification of the saints. It's going to be the Lord. Remember what God has done for you. If you're here this morning without Christ, I'd ask you to remember that without Jesus, you have no hope. You have no eternity with the Lord. You have only one thing to look forward to, and that's the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. May God, by His grace, give you today the faith to believe that His Son died on the cross for you, that you might have life eternal. And when we remember this, how should it affect us? If we're without Christ, it ought to make us want to come to the Lord. If we're a child of God, it ought to make us want to praise Him. It ought to make us want to serve Him. It ought to make us want to feel that we can't do enough for Him because of the great things that God has done for us. I remember the story here in closing. I remember the man in the coast of Gadara that was possessed by demons. And God set him free. And he was so happy. And he rejoiced, and he wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus told him, "Go home. Go home and tell what great things God has done for you." And you know, that ought to be our message today to our hearts. Remember, go home and tell people what great things the Lord's done for you. Remember, you were in bondage to sin and death, but God redeemed you. He brought you out of it by His power and His might. Let us praise Him for it. Shall we stand? Ask Brother Jerry to